This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. If you've been listening to me for a while, you have heard me talk about how I love to collaborate on projects and particularly work with the women in my circle, in my town. I say circle and town, but gosh, with the internet, you can work with people all over the world, right? Just like this show. But I recently was introduced to somebody, I should say, I met somebody face to face for the first time, having known her through Facebook, I think for maybe 5 or 6 years. My guest today, Ursula Adams. And Ursula is the founder of the She Hive. When I heard that, the She Hive, look, if you were in the studio right now, you'd see my hair standing up because I love that. I am all about collaboration and consciously choosing to live a positive life. And that is what Ursula's passion is. And she has found it in expression through the She Hive. So welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm so, so excited about having you here. I first was introduced to you through Facebook, as I said earlier, when you were with the United Way.
Yes.
And let's give the listeners a little background on what you did with the United Way.
So I was with United Way for 16 years. So I did a little bit of everything throughout those 16 years. But what I found as I went back and looked at my career there, the common thread was I built out new systems for them. So I started with them working on a project called Michigan ComNet, which actually helped other nonprofits get online. Because this was so long ago, like websites were a big deal.
Right.
Back then.
I hate dating myself when I talk about the fact that I was probably one of the first people online doing that stuff, right?
Yeah. You know, it was still with the dial up, you know, AOL and everything.
Right.
So I'd always had an interest in the web and how people connected.
Right.
And so I trained other nonprofits how to build out their websites and then we hosted them for them. But what I would do is I would use the United Way website as a what not to do in all my classes because it was pretty abysmal. and so eventually they brought me in house to actually do some work on their own website. And I should say internally focused. And so then I built out their digital marketing program. And this was just as MySpace was blowing up. And then eventually as Facebook went public, you didn't have to have a .edu to use it.
Right.
I actually headed a team called the Stealth Team there, where we worked on Web 2.0, like just initiatives to, you know, kind of further us. And like our first electronic newsletter took a year to get out because, the marketing director at the time just was so worried about what people were going to say about us online if we put this out online and, you know, all those concerns that people had decades ago about the internet. And so I built out their digital program, built out their, their social media platform. I actually ended up going and helping them build it out for the entire United Way system. Eventually led the entire marketing team because I was really interested in how you integrate all the different platforms. And then from there, my passion is actually, and what I had gone to school for was human resources, which is, you know, in nonprofit, you segue into stuff all the time. But I'm particularly interested in how people engage with each other, with the places they work, how they bring their whole selves to work. And there was a noticeable issue with our culture there at that point in time. It had gone from really great to not so great. People didn't want to come to work. I didn't want to go to work, which was really sad after, a decade of being there. And so I proposed to the leadership team and they accepted a new position, creation of a new position that was specifically focused on culture. And so my last couple of years there, I worked as their director of employee engagement and actually did a lot at the same time I was in grad school. Studying organizational development and really did a lot of work to figure out what it is that keeps employees engaged at work. And that doesn't mean happy. That means what gives them everything they need at work. So they'll give everything they have to give at work. And did a lot of research on the science behind engagement, actually did some measurement, took us from a place where our first measurement, we were in a 35th percentile, which meant 65% of the world was happier to go to work than we were.
Isn't that something?
Yes. And, you know, nonprofit work is hard, to top it off.
I mean, it is hard. Yeah. And it gets a bad rap sometime of, you know, low pay and engagement that can suck the energy out of you at times.
Absolutely. You're working on really hard problems. Smartest people I ever worked with in my life were there. But at the same time, it's a scarcity-based model. You're always scrambling for the next, you know, funder or the next donation, the next dollar. And you lose a lot of times, you can lose focus on why you actually went into that work, which is to improve people's lives. You know?
And most of the people are very kind and giving and generous. And, you know, as I say, they're connected with their soul.
Yeah.
You know, they want to, many people think that's living in their karmic resources. You know, they're just very giving, kind and loving people. Yeah. And they want to be treated equally.
Mm-hmm. So we ended up doing a lot of work to create some psychological safety in that space, to help people bring their whole selves to work. And the engagement went up. And the last measure was at a 91st percentile, which won us a Gallup Award. There's 35 that go out in the world a year. And that the United Way here in Detroit won one. Got a trophy. Yes, thank you. Got a trophy. I love trophies. I'm a very externally recognized kind of person. That's how I like my recognition. Trophy pictures on Facebook and a news, you know, news headline somewhere. And then there was a change in leadership, and the new leadership just didn't see the same need for it as the old. And also, I had been allowed a lot of leeway to build out new systems, which is what I really love to do. I don't want to, once I build it, somebody else can sustain it.
I'm right there with you. When I get the idea, I'll get it started and you finish it.
And it's up to somebody else to sustain it. That's not the space I want to be in. I'm an ideator, you know? Mm-hmm. And the new leadership wasn't going along with that model. At the same time, I was finishing up grad school. I had really spent a long time and some hard work defining what my purpose really was. And as much as I loved the work there and I loved the people there, I knew that my mission was really to help women. And, you know, granted, about 80% of their staff was women, and that was wonderful and it suited me, but I couldn't do it the way that I knew at that time I really wanted to do my work. So I left.
And it was time for the next shift and the next phase of where you are now.
Yeah. So I left not knowing if I was going to get another job, if I was going to try out this idea that I had in my head, the She Hive, and met with my mentor. And he's like, when are you ever going to have this time in your life to try it? He's like, prototype it for 90 days. Mm-hmm. And so.
And it's been, what, a year later?
Almost a year.
Yeah.
We're going into, we're actually about 9-10 months right now. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you made it past the 90 days. So let's get right into it. Yeah. What is the She Hive?
So the She Hive, it's a collective of women who come together to provide means to connect with other women and for women to learn from each other. So we do workshops, we do seminars, group coaching, one-on-one coaching, and some social, just purely social events. And it is actually a physical space because I think I am a physical energy type person, even interesting because I worked for years and years in online connection and community. I really like that physical energy that people can draw off of each other when they're together. And so created an actual physical space in Ferndale where women can come together to learn. Now it's just a small space. The She Hive idea in its entirety is a much larger space, but we're still testing and piloting to see what works. So we have a small 3-room space where women come together. We do workshops on anything from your emotional wellness, your creative wellness, social connections, some financial wellness, physical wellness sometimes, and just all facets of a woman. What I really wanted was a space where women could come learn all about themselves and not just, you know, like I could go one place from my yoga studio. I could go another place to have a social event. I could go another place to learn something about my finances. I wanted a one-stop shop for women.
And it's such a quaint little space. You also provide a space for co-working, which has really become kind of a buzzword. And you and I had talked about this briefly when we met face to face about that need to, when you are working for yourself, that need to have the stimulation of other people.
Absolutely.
And the support. If even if it's just to know somebody's there to bounce an idea off of or whatever that might be. Like you, I do a lot of work for myself on the line or online through the web. And I found myself really getting disconnected because I needed physical. I needed to see somebody in that physical presence to bounce those ideas off of. And in the corporate world, we always had somebody that we could go to, good, bad, or indifferent. We had somebody to go to. Then you become an entrepreneur and you're working for yourself and there's nobody except maybe your husband and your dogs. And they're going to give you the feedback you want to hear, not necessarily what's going to boost you to the next level.
Or just give me the feedback that I don't want to hear.
That's what I mean. Yeah. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. Yeah. They're not going to say, this is what you you need to do or could do.
Yeah, there is a loneliness in this gig economy, you know, as most of us are, you know, I should say more and more, like small businesses, particularly in the Detroit area, are being started by women more than anything else. And we women, all people, but women, we know we are wired for connection. We need connection. I didn't realize as a, I call myself like an extra extrovert. Like I need a, like a community to entertain me at all. I need a village to continue like to entertain me at all times. Right. And I didn't realize, like I was leaving my job. I forgot I was leaving my community too. Particularly in my community of 16 years.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. You had been with this community for 16 years.
So we had celebrated births and weddings and deaths and, you know, everything in between. And these were my people. And it didn't they didn't necessarily follow when I left. I just assumed they would all be at the She-Hive too, you know, and not realizing that we were a community because we had that common 8 hours together every day, but we had our lives afterwards. And I was asking them to be part of my life afterwards where they already had a life established. Right. And so there is this, just this incredible loneliness when you're, you know, a small, a micro business, an solo entrepreneur, solopreneur, particularly because I think a lot of us that do this are extroverts to begin with that actually step out like this. And yeah, we need support. So I had always envisioned that the She-Hive of itself is a shell. It's a place where collectively women bring their businesses together, like-minded businesses together to create support for other women. And so that's what the co-working's about, is this is a space where women, you know, women-owned businesses can come together. And it's amazing, even though we have such different businesses, how many commonalities we share. And so that co-working space, one, it's just a space where you can get and be in the presence of people, you know. We're actually starting lunchtime chats where we'll have different experts come in and talk to us about things that matter to small women business owners and freelancers. And then some of it's just, there's some time to be, it's Friday afternoon, some silliness and some, you know, just sisterhood. And I remember,
and you can wear your jeans.
You can wear your, well, you don't even have,
you have good pants, you know,
as long as like it's legal, we're okay with it. Like, we tell every woman that comes in the She-Hive, you don't have to dress to impress because we are already impressed the minute you walk in that door. You know, like I spend most of my time in there without my shoes off and, you know, like, yeah, so there's no need to dress up or do anything. And there's, you know, we've had, you know, coaches that come in and, you know, they don't have their computers. They sit down and they're working on their coaching program. So they've got colored pencils and, you know, and they're drawing and, you know, or we have some women that come in, you know, we have web designers that work out of it. It's actually sponsored by a web design firm, LL and Company. They actually sponsor our co-working days. And, but it's just, I remember the very first one we had, I had never co-worked myself before. And so I was sacked out on the couch. Like that's where I co-work from, is our big red velvet couch, Martha. And so I was sitting on Martha and it was so quiet. Like I didn't know what the rules were. Was I allowed to talk to people, you know? And I had done it because I wanted community and connection for myself, but I couldn't talk to them because I didn't want to interrupt their work. And it was like being like the kid in the candy store that can't buy any candy. It was horrible, you know? And then finally I'm like, I will buy everybody lunch if you talk to me.
Darn, I wish I would have been there day.
So they're like, oh, we would love to talk. Are we allowed to talk? Let's talk, you know?
Right.
So we did. We sat down. We had lunch together. We had a round table, just like, what's on your mind? What's going on? And, you know, the rules and the norms are starting to evolve as we continue to do this. And, but there is a lot more talking. There's music, there's, you know, And so it's not loud like a coffee shop or, you know, a huge co-working right. space, but there is some talk, particularly as people are starting to come back and we start to get to know each other a little bit.
Yeah. One of the gigs that I was in for about a year and a half or two, there was a group of women at the core, and it was like cubicles, but it was an open space, very similar to what you offer at mm-hmm. the She Hive. And every day we would sit down for a few minutes before we even got it started, and we would just kind of catch up on what happened the night before or anything that we really wanted to chat about. We'd have lunch together, mm-hmm. and at the end of the day, we'd kind of go over things in the business that worked and that didn't work. Mm-hmm. We also took a few minutes to take that, I keep hearing the word tribe, you know, you're creating yes. a tribe of women. Yeah.
Your hive.
You're creating that tribe of people that are there to support each yeah. other mm-hmm. and not just support each other, mm-hmm. but to see each other thrive.
Yeah.
That's what I really liked about mm-hmm. the experience I had when I came to the She Hive, was that you want to see people thrive. You know, what mm-hmm. what do you do? How can I help you? What's next, you yeah. know, on your horizon, instead of just come on in and get to work?
Yeah. So I had recently, just last week, I was writing a blog post. I do a blog post every week for the She Hive. And one of the things I've really been exploring is this idea of kind of this, you know, and I love men, so not to, you know, knock men,
right.
but this very male dominated culture in corporate America where competition trumps cooperation. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't work for me. And
right.
And so the spirit of the She Hive is this is about cooperation. There is plenty enough work for all of us. There
right.
really is.
No matter what you do.
Yeah.
No matter how you show up in the world.
Yeah. There is plenty enough to go around for all of us. And so how do we help each other succeed? Because if you're happy, I'm happier. And that's not just an esoteric woo-woo kind of thing. That's science. You know,
right,
you know,
right.
when your energy is coming off better, it actually affects me positively.
Absolutely. Listeners, I'm chatting with Ursula Adams. You can find all of her information here at the Soulful Living page on Empower Radio. We will have links to the She Hive as well as Ursula's own website that kind of gets into what she does. In fact, one of the questions that I had for you was, I'm going to just jump right
sure.
into this, okay? What is the Red Yellow Collective?
So the Red Yellow Collective. So the She Hive is my passion project, right? And so that's where I do this wonderful work that I love to do with women. The Red Yellow Collective is where I pay my bills.
We have to do that.
Yeah. Because the She Hive, you know, it's a new business, and as all new businesses, you know, it's taking some time to get up and off and running. It's sustainable on its own, which is wonderful, but it doesn't pay for me yet. And actually, I still love and miss some of this work that I do with teams and organizations that I mm-hmm. used to do with teams and organizations. So the Red Yellow Collective is my side business, even though my primary business, it's my side hustle. So it's a management consulting firm. So I do organizational development and leadership coaching. And I studied organizational development at Case Western University down in Cleveland, but not just any old organizational development, positive organizational development and change. And so this is how you look at business from a positive psychology lens, and how it is that you actually bring in this idea of the self as a driver for organizational change and as a positive driver for organizational change.
Hence the MSPOD.
Yes, I'm a Miss Pod. So a master's of science in positive organizational development and change.
mm-hmm. Well, I think with the shifts that are taking place in our world on such a rapid mm-hmm. level, mm-hmm. from large businesses, I mean, Ford today just went through some changes
some
with
changes.
Their
yeah.
leadership,
yep.
you know, down to the entrepreneurs mm-hmm. who are maybe have one or two different employees. It's important to find resources that can support you in changing
yeah.
the way that businesses are
running.
Traditionally
yeah.
run.
Absolutely. Just last week, I had a group in, a fundraising team from COTS, so the Coalition of Temporary
yeah.
Shelter, and they were getting ready to do their donor thank-a-thon where they sat down and they wrote all of their thank you notes out. And so they had originally asked if they could just use the She Hive to get out of the office and write their thank you notes. And we started talking, and she's like, maybe you can do a little work with the team. And And I'm like, well, let's talk about attitude of gratitude because you're getting ready to write thank you notes. Ooh, yeah, and so let's do some work on your gratitude. And I will tell you from being a nonprofit for so long, and I was at AIDS Walk Detroit before I was at United Way. So I spent a lot of time in nonprofit. We lose sight sometimes when we go to thank our donors. To us, it's a marketing tool and not an actual tool of gratitude. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's the mindset you get into when you're dealing, when you're a nonprofit and you're chasing the donor dollar all the time to do your work. And so we had a spectacular morning where we spent 3 hours together talking about and doing some experiential workshop stuff on what gratitude looks like for you. What you had accomplished in your life so you could recognize the own things that you were thanking yourself for, how you actually recognized gratitude. We did an art project. There's so much art that goes on in this GI, but art solidifies the learnings. And so they created gratitude jars, but it changed the tone of the afternoon. So at the end of their 3-hour workshop, I'm like, now what would you want your donor to feel when they get that thank you? Because I asked the same question at the beginning and they're like, we want them not to forget us, you know? And by the end of it, they're like, I want them to know how much their gift meant. Mm. And so it was a total change in that they're happier because you've invested in them personally. You've given them some new tools. You've helped them grow. You've recognized that they're a person that isn't just an employee. And at the same time, it produces a better product. And so the type of work I do, that's what it does. It helps people learn and grow. But it also become more whole. And as a more whole person, when you're not using your psychic energy to hide at work and be somebody you're not, you produce a much better product.
Well, and it's really amazing how when you can clearly come from a place of gratitude, mm-hmm. especially for yourself, everything around you can shift.
Yes.
And when you, like you said, when you can recognize that and that's what's going to make the donor not forget you.
Yeah.
Is because they're going to get a letter mm-hmm. that clearly expresses a genuine place of gratitude. Yeah. And a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah. There was an authenticity when you actually go through the work to discover what gratitude actually is and to start recognizing it.
Mm-hmm. So what is gratitude for you?
Good question, Terry.
Yeah. Caught you off guard there, right?
You certainly did. So gratitude is actually... So there's a couple of different practices, right? So so I think it's a set of practices to actually look for the positive. And it's not how we're trained. And it's just not how our world is actually built, you know? If you look at the news, there's 16 negative images or words to every one positive, right? So this is actually being mindful in the moment to actually look at what it is that's going good, no matter how big or how small. The thing about gratitude, I will say one of the things is that we always look for the really big something.
Right.
I'm very guilty of that myself. You know, we have one event at the SheHive called Toast to You. That's run by this amazing woman, Brandy Keeler, the first Friday of every month. And it actually asks women to slow down and look at what they've accomplished for the past month. So that's a different form. It's a gratitude for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So giving gratitude back to yourself. The first time I went to it was about 10 days before we opened the SheHive. And all I could think of was everything I hadn't done. And I was like bashing myself. Like, I haven't done this. We're going to open in 10 days. I'm going to be a failure. You know, there's going to be no carpet, you know, and nobody's ever going to come back to the SheHive if there's not good carpet, you know? and so I went to this Toast to You party and, you know, Brandy's like, write down everything you accomplished in the past 30 days. And I was like, and then the SheHive came together quick. So in 30 days, I'd found a partner, put together a business partnership, a legal agreement. The SheHive become a legal entity. I had rented a space. I had put together my business plan. We had decorated the whole thing. We had 90 days of programming built out for the we did a first 100-day prototype, you know, right. So like the 100-day prototype was built out. And I'm like, man, I accomplished a lot in these last 30 days. And so it was actually, you know, taking time to recognize what I had done instead of focusing on what I hadn't. Mm-hmm. Gratitude's also, you know, just what's been good in the last 24 hours. What have I done for somebody that I'm thankful for? You know, so there's a whole set of practices you can do around gratitude. But I think it really is just taking time to appreciate the positive in life.
I like that. And I like if I rewind just a little bit mm-hmm. that you said to be mindful of it. Yeah. I know that you have some mindful workshops coming up at the SheHive. And that's something that's really important to me. You know, every morning before I even put my foot on the ground, I'm saying thank you to the universe. And even if I can only say thank you for the love in my life, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like, not necessarily, you know, the man next to me, but thank you for the love that supports my soul. Because for me, living a soul life and living a positive life are the same thing. Not to say that we don't have those down moments.
Well, of course.
And that's when we really have to stop mm-hmm. for a minute and look for those moments of positive accomplishments or mm-hmm. something that shifted our soul, even if it was just a smile. You
yeah.
know, if somebody can look at you and give you a smile and you can say, oh yeah, I saw that man in the corner today and he gave yeah. me a smile and said, hey, you know, those are some really cool things to be thankful about. And I think that people don't always have a clear definition of what gratitude is. So I appreciate that you offered it that way
mm-hmm.
to look at it and be mindful of the positives that are in your life.
Yep.
And we forget over a 24 or 30 day period of time, how many things that we do accomplish. Not to say that men don't, but man, women are the nurturers. So they are nurturing everything, life, home, business, yep. family, you know, the neighbor, whatever it is,
yeah.
we're out there.
We're taught not to be braggadocious.
Right.
Know, not to put ourselves up front. So we minimize what we do accomplish because we've been trained to do so.
Right.
And so events like this Toast to You or other things actually are a disruptor to women because we haven't been trained to brag about what it is, even to ourselves, you know, what
right.
it is that we've accomplished. Like we're always trying to minimize ourselves somehow.
Mm-hmm. So let's do a 100-day brag about yourself challenge.
Oh, yes.
And see everybody
yeah.
talk about all the amazing things
yes.
they did the day before, even if they just painted
yeah.
their nails or something,
so,
right?
Interestingly no. enough, where I'm getting ready to launch a 21-day gratitude challenge
awesome.
At the She Hive. And
great.
So we're doing one in person and one virtually. We're doing our very first virtual class, which
cool.
I'm a little nervous about, but excited about.
That's awesome.
And this is all about finding those ways to brag, thank, find gratitude, find positivity.
Right.
Yeah.
So. I personally believe everything starts within, you know,
yeah.
everything starts within. When we can be grateful for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
grateful for who we are, when we can see that,
yeah.
then we can show up so much brighter in the world and be that light to make those changes
yeah.
to support women, whatever mm-hmm. it might look like for you. Okay, we're down to the wire here. We've got about, what, maybe a minute left, 30 seconds, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank
and
you.
I personally am looking forward to spending time at
yeah.
the She Hive. My life's been a little
yeah.
crazy the last 2 weeks. But
we are there for when people's lives are not crazy and they need a space. Or when it's really crazy, they need
and
a
they
space.
Need, that's what I was just going to say. I think maybe I needed to say, stop, I'm coming
well, yeah,
in, right?
Yep, yep.
And I love for my guests mm-hmm. to leave the listeners with a thought that they can take out into the day to elevate their soul or
mm-hmm.
Bring some more positivity into it.
Mm-hmm.
What would that be for you?
My favorite thought that I carry with me quite often. Can I do two? Because I'm just...
You go, girl. Go
one,
for it.
First is, you will always have everything you need. It's always mm-hmm. been true. It's always been true. If you're here and you're listening, it's always been true.
Mm.
The other one is, real change begins when you become more of who you are.
Mm. So, I love that.
Yeah, that's my mantra.
Let's walk it.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And thanks, Nate, as usual, for being such an awesome producer.
Thank you.